Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so excited to have our buddy Dave Archer in studio. He is literally at the elite level of college football analysts, NFL analysts. My man was at the Benz on Saturday night watching Georgia and calling the game. He was the analyst on Westwood One. And what an event. You told us you've done that 11 or 12 straight years. But, Arch, it's great to have you here in the Kia Studios.
Thanks, man.
Take us to the studio at the Benz and the whole environment and just take us into that, man. Me as a play-by-play guy, I'm, like, fascinated, man. I would love to call a big college football game.
Well, first of all, let's hope the house tomorrow night is a lot like it was Saturday night because it was completely off the hook. It was amazing to hear the Auburn fans and the Georgia fans in there, and both were extremely loud. But the Georgia fans obviously won out. I think it was probably, what do you think, MO, about 60-40, I thought, Georgia to Auburn.
60-40 with standing room only tickets going for about $250 a pop.
How about that? They actually opened up, and MO's right, they opened up the outer reaches of Mercedes-Benz for this game like you would for an SEC championship game or for a Super Bowl or for a national championship game, which we'll see in about a month.
Arch, DQ was asked the question this week about Falcon fans and being louder, and he answered it as politically correct as he can. And I know it's a very dicey scenario. You're there, I'm there. What's been going on with the lack of noise and the lack of people just being in their seats at games?
Well, the only thing I can think of, John, is that the building's got a lot of bells and whistles to it, and you want to check them out. And I don't know that everybody's coming to every game. If you have eight tickets to the eight home games, you know, disregard the preseason games, but the eight home games, are you selling some of them and recouping some of your cash? I'm sure some of that's happening. But also when you come, you may be bringing a couple people that never been before, and now you're going to say, hey, you got to go check this out. Hey, we got to go to the 100-yard bar. We got to go do this. And so you're wandering around throughout the stadium, and rightly so. There's a lot going on. Somehow we've got to try to come together as a group, mm-hmm. and I'm talking about the team and the player and the fans come together where we're all in the building and looking at the field and creating noise at the same time.
Arch, for a couple to 3 to 4 weeks, John and I have sort of been softly bringing this up. You know, there are powers that be that really don't want to hear a whole lot of criticism about Mercedes-Benz Stadium right now. The thing just opened up. But in terms of Philadelphia, Seattle, Pittsburgh, the great environments in the NFL, Gillette Stadium in New England, where the crowd is a part of those wins for those teams. How do we get there?
Well, I think all you have to do is look at what you had next door. I mean, think about the way you closed out the way the Dome was the last couple games of the season. When you talk about the two postseason games, even the Saint game at the end of the year, we played them, I think, the last game of the year,
yeah,
if I'm correct, John.
Yep.
And that had a great environment and a vibe to it as well. So we have the ability to do it. It's just a matter of, hey, we got to be attentive enough to say, hey, listen, okay, yeah, let's go get our beers, but we need to be ready to go and locked and loaded when our defense is on the field or whatever.
I was going to say, go ahead, Rick.
Just super quick, you were a quarterback in the NFL. You were in these crazy environments. You were at Soldier Field back in the day, and that crowd helped the Bears win. Help people understand how important they can be being loud in a stadium. You're a quarterback. Explain that to them. Help them understand they can be a 13th man or a 12th man.
And it can hurt a team's defense as well. You hear what you hear from teams all the time is, what do we need to do better? We need to communicate. We need to communicate on the field better. Well, what makes that more difficult than anything else is noise in the building. If it's a docile crowd, I can yell over to my corner and say, hey, play off, or hey, you roll up, I'm rolling your way. I can now, if I can't he can't hear me, I've got to come up with some signals or something to signal him. And is he looking at me? He may be staring at his guy. I can't yell at him anymore. He's got to be seeing what I'm doing. Same thing happens on the offensive line. You see the quarterbacks walk up and down the line trying to change a protection, trying to change a play. And that becomes difficult. Now, you can signal to your receivers, But you have to verbally tell the offensive line. They're not turning around looking at you. Mm-hmm. They have to hear a verbal command. Now, the snap count's not that big a deal. You can play around with silent snap counts and things like that. But actually literally telling your interior five guys on your offensive line what's going to happen, critical. And you can make that a real problem if you're loud in the home team.
All right, so let's go back to Sunday, 14-9. We lose to Minnesota, a winnable game that's there. Dan Quinn, with about 4.5 to go, decides to kick a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down. What were your thoughts when that happened?
Damn it! No, I always want to go for it. I think that Dan has played with this and tried to figure out just the right thing to do. I think he felt like his defense was playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think he felt like a field goal puts him in position to get a stop. Now, we didn't get the stop, obviously, and so that doesn't look very good. You might think that, okay, if you had time, more than 30 seconds to figure it out, maybe you go ahead and go for it because you think, you know what, we're a little beat up on defense. I'm not sure we can play what I want to play to stop them. And that means come up, play press, get in their face, commit eight guys to stop the run. We may not be equipped to do that. So in retrospect, maybe he goes for it.
Interesting. Dave Archer joining Rick and John here in the Kia Studios, home of the Falcons. And Arch, we've talked. I want to give you an opportunity because once a week you take me deep like Giancarlo Stanton in the Home Run Derby. So I want to give you another opportunity to do that. And we've debated all year, Arch. You know that I'm more of a field goal guy than you are. You've said time and time again. You've talked on the broadcast on the ACC network. I want to put my quarterback up to bat and instead of taking the field goal. I think there are situations where taking the field goal is very wise. I did not think it was a wise decision for Dan Quinn to try to take the field goal late in that game. But I want to go back to Friday. Pac-12 championship game. David Shaw is right there at about the 2 or 3 yard line. It's fourth and goal. He's down 3, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. John and I vehemently agree on this, that you have to kick the field goal right there to tie the football game and play it out. You are always a go for it, don't take the field goal guy. Would you apply that to that situation?
You know, when you look back at that game, Stanford was playing pretty good defensively in the second half, too. So that almost lends itself to more about what you're talking about. Take the field goal. We're going to be able to stop them and get it back again for another opportunity. You've got arguably the best back in the country, but he's wounded. Now you don't have that option to go to. And I'm not overly trusting of my quarterback. So, yeah, I would have taken 3 there. David has an unbelievable feel for his offensive line. They do the tight splits.
Yeah.
The tight splits actually allowed USC to come off the edge and make the play. If they'd spread out a little bit more, maybe they do get in. So maybe they were their own worst enemy there.
We just had a lunar eclipse here in the Kia Studios. Dave Archer just said taking the field goal would have been the right call, John. Do you understand the rarity of what just happened?
I didn't feel like it was right to take you deep there because I felt like the guy that came on before me that was talking about Baker Mayfield took you deep on that one because you called him a number one draft pick, so I didn't have to worry about that.
I think he's a first-round pick. Do you agree?
No.
Why not?
I don't think he's big enough to play in the NFL.
I think he's big enough with like the muscle tone and all that. I know he's a little bit short.
Can he be Russell Wilson?
Can he be Russell Wilson or Drew Brees? I think he can be a facsimile of
those
that.
Those are two different guys now.
But they're both undersized guys.
Right, but they're different players.
Baker Mayfield, to me, is obviously more in the Russell Wilson category because Baker Mayfield can run read option. I mean, he scooted, 60 yards for a run against TCU, and we've seen him do that all year.
Okay, well, this just in, he won't play TCU next year. They're not on the roster, not on the schedule.
You don't think he has an NFL arm?
I think he's got a good arm. I think he's got a good arm. I think he's got a great chance. I didn't like the guy compared him to Manziel.
Johnny Manziel.
I didn't like that comparison. I think he's much better than that.
Totally agree.
But I don't think he's the number one draft. I'm not burning number one on him. Are you burning number one on him?
Me? No, I'm probably not. Early second, though, I'd take him.
Okay.
I'd give Cleveland? Him a shot. I look at the crap that's starting in the NFL right now. And there's some unmitigated poop starting at quarterback in this league.
Do you agree with me, John, that Baker Mayfield would be better with the Browns right now than DeShone Kizer?
Probably. But I've seen how many quarterbacks roll into Cleveland, and you go, all right, this is the next guy, and they all stink?
It's a graveyard, man.
That place is a black hole.
It's a graveyard for quarterbacks. you got to go find some other guys to play around you before you start throwing quarterbacks in there.
Well, they got a couple. They just all get into trouble. All right, we got Arch in studio with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Playoffs start tomorrow night, Arch. Falcons, playoffs. By virtue of losing to Minnesota, the only avenue that they control their own destiny is winning out against New Orleans. The number one thing you'd want to do against New Orleans tomorrow night would be what?
Pull the nose ring out of Alvin Kamara's nose.
Wow.
No?
That's fine. No. I can take that shot.
Alvin Kamara has been spectacular and really cool for a hometown kid to be going off the way he is. Mm-hmm. What do you think that's going to be like for him to come back here?
How many tickets do you think he had to get? About 180, 200?
Yeah, and he probably had to trim it down to get that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, really cool for Alvin Kamara. I was just kidding about the comment before. I think he's been dynamic. He's been the shot in the arm they needed. Mm-hmm. Darren Sproles goes away. Okay, Breeze has kind of been searching for that go-to guy. I'm in trouble. I need some cheap yards. I need a guy that can be explosive and get me something when I just throw it 4 yards. Guess what? Alvin Kamara has surfaced, and he's been dynamic. So how do you take those two backs away? I think it'll be tough. I think that you'll see some man coverage to try to close on him, to try to not give him as much room as he's gotten. But how about, doesn't Ingram look like a smaller package?
Yeah.
He kind of was that Stay Puft Marshmallow guy for a couple years, wasn't he? And now all of a sudden he's trimmed down. He broke off like a 70-yard run last week, so he looks pretty good as well.
There's no doubt about it. He got into good shape, I want to say, 2 or 3 years ago because the career was a little bit fledgling with New Orleans. The fumbles were on the rise, and he took off weight and got the speed back. And, my God, he's been one of the most – and trust me, as a fantasy guy, I clocked this stuff. He's been reliable for about 2-3 years now. Dave Archer hanging out with Rick and John here in the Kia Studios. Arch, why don't our Atlanta Falcons throw more screen passes – and when they rarely call a screen, they seem to never execute it the right way. And we're John and I were talking New Orleans and New England. And a lot of they are awesome at throwing the screen. And Andy Reid offense always awesome at throwing that screen pass. Why aren't we good at
You're talking about the 3-count screen.
Mm-hmm.
The 3-count.
Well, it could be the 3-count screen where you lob it over, or it could be the wheel route that Drew Brees loves to run so much. Just those passing routes to the back.
You're talking about a swing screen.
A swing screen.
Why
aren't
wheel,
we better
wheel
at those
routes
plays?
Where you start the back to the flat and then you wheel him up the sideline.
Exactly.
You're talking about bringing him out, bringing him motion behind, and you throw a swing screen, you get a couple guys out in front.
I'm talking about all three of those types of screens.
We do throw the quick screen, which you've seen to Taylor Gabriel.
Okay, can we stop doing that, please? We scored on that play one time. We get negative one every time, Arch.
It seems like it may be the only way see, I want to see Taylor Gabriel more involved. So, and I'm not talking about just on jet sweep and the jet screen and the quick screen. I'm talking about building in quick crossing routes for him, mm-hmm. where you got shots down the field and you're trying to you layer your route deep, intermediate, short. I need someone short coming across the middle for me. So as I'm dropping to throw, I've got a quick, easy throw, or I have someone that's going to immediately draw eyes of the linebackers. I mean, they're going to have to step up. I'm not talking about checkdowns. I'm talking about guys that are immediately in their face right now that are timing up with the intermediate route, where I've got a guy at 10 to 12, 15 yards in behind him, but I got that guy at about 5 or 6 yards, 4 yards, coming across right in their eyes. If they continue to sink defensively, boom, I dump him the ball right now. He's got the ball on the move. He's running with it. If they bite on him and step up, boom, I'm throwing the ball in behind. You know, all of a sudden the safeties are thinking, okay, do I take the deep guy that's running the post route or that deep seam? Or am I going to jump that in route? If they jump the in route, now you got a home run ball. See, those are the kind of things that I think we're capable of doing, and we do some. You just like to see a little bit more of it. That's me. That's the inner quarterback in me coming out. I want that quick throw. I want some outlets. I want something to get. If I get quick pressure in the middle, boom, I want a guy that I can dump it to right now. That's what you're going to see Breeze do tonight or tomorrow night. You're going to see Breeze. What you got to do to Breeze is a short setter. He likes to set it about 6-7 yards. You got to get interior push on him. The outside pressure is not a big deal to him because he's going to climb in the pocket. He's going to slide. So you got to get interior push. But when he knows exactly where those quick, easy throws are, Kamara in the right flat. Kamara in the right left flat. You know, Ingram checking down or running the crossing route. Here comes somebody inside. That's what they do. And then he'll throw all those intermediate routes. If you look at the numbers, he is one of the shortest throwing guys to throw the ball in the air of anybody in the league. And then as soon as you start to step up to take that away, he throws the seam routes behind you. and that deep over route.
Go back to the screen scenario with our backs. You would think with Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, the three-count screen, the swing screen, either one of those would be there. Is that an offensive line issue that we don't execute it, or is it just something we don't like to call?
That's a great question. I think that there's probably a combination of the two. It's something you have to rep a lot. It's something you got to practice a lot. The screens are something they work on in camp. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't see enough of practice to get a chance to see that. Are they doing the three-count screens? The two backs we have are as good as their two backs, if not better. And they're certainly as good a pass receiver. Remember, Devontae 3 years ago caught 75 passes.
Right.
I think right now is what he's sitting on, about 22 grabs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the dynamic guy out in space. So screens, just dump it to him.
Right.
Don't even get anybody
give
in front
the ball
of
in space.
If they're going to sink in zone, boom, balls. If I'm dropping to throw and they're sinking in a seven-man zone and I know Devontae's on a swing, I'm going to raise up and get him the ball right now. Now he's catching the ball coming downhill, and they're having to rally up to make the play on him. I like my chances.
And somebody's jock strap will be left at about the 28-yard line.
Well, he shook two guys down last time he did. Yeah, one catch last week, and he shook two guys to the ground on it.
Hanging out with Dave Archer, and I love asking, and John as well, Arch, the nitty-gritty technical football questions, because you've got Arch with the hands out in front of him, and he's motioning this way. I just love it. I eat it up,
Arch. You
see
me when I'm talking in the car on you guys. I almost wrecked like three or four times.
You the man. We love you, Arch. We seriously do. How concerned are you about Andy Levitre being out here 2-3 with the bicep injury?
I am very concerned. You're talking about a guy that has the longest-running consecutive streak of starts in the interior offensive line in the league. He's got 140 consecutive starts. That's going to end tomorrow night. The only other offensive lineman that has a longer streak is Donald Penn, the left tackle.
Amazing.
Yeah, so he's been in there a long time. So now you're going to talk about Garland and Schweitzer. You know, let's play, guys. Let's line up and let's go. You know,
sound that confident,
well,
Arch.
You got guys that are you got one guy that's pretty inexperienced. I think he is a guy that wants to knock you in the mouth. I think he's got the nastiness that you want. But is he going to be under control, landmarks tight, set right, don't overextend, don't get your head over your feet? A lot of things that he hadn't had to do regularly he's going to have to do tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night's easy for you, isn't it? You just wake up tomorrow and you're ready to punch somebody when the Saints come to town.
Oh, for the Saints? Yeah. Oh, I can't stand the Saints, man. Never lost to him. Never lost to him as a starter.
Way to go, Arch.
Never lost to him.
Tell him, Arch.
Oh, I got a house full of New Orleans people driving up tomorrow, flying in.
You might have to get a hotel room tonight, man.
No, I already told her when we win because we are beating the Saints.
You stay with the team tonight. You come down and stay with the team.
Well, they won't be there till tomorrow. I already told her tomorrow night. You sleep in the basement with mom or whomever. We're winning.
Wake up with a fleur-de-lis stuffed in your ear.
Arch, super quick. Is this game played in the 20s or the 30s?
I think it's in the 20s. I'm looking at 27, 24, something like that.
And we're right back in the playoff mix. With a nice win.
Yeah. We're 27.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, I know you were going with us being 27. Arch, appreciate you stopping by, man.
Hey, by the way, on your slice of life, how about landing the plane on the strip in Con Air? I mean, that was pretty realistic, wasn't it?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.